Thank you for downloading the Radio Cardiff Sport Podcast. For more information about the show, go to our blog,
radiocardiffsport.blogspot.com.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition.
This is the Monday Night Sports Show on 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
Hello, I'm Francis Taylor, and this is the Monday Night Sports Show. I'm here with Yusuf Haider and Simon Williams on 98.7 FM in Cardiff and online at radiocardiff.org with award-winning sports discussion and debate. And coming up on the show, we review another packed weekend of sport, beginning with Gareth Bale's sensational match-winning performance against Scotland on Friday night. Yesterday's half marathon saw 18,000 people running through the streets of Cardiff in aid of various charities. We hear from one competitor. Our very own Simon Williams attended the International Tennis Federation wheelchair tennis event at Virgin Active yesterday, and we hear from the tournament organiser Simon Clark. Sebastian Vettel made it a hat-trick of wins at the Korean Grand Prix on Sunday, and we review that performance and also the news that he'll be driving for Ferrari in 2014. We also hear from Paul Harper about Tranmere's rise to the top of League One. Yusuf has the UFC and Simon has his Cardiff Devils update. And as always, you can get involved by giving the show a call on 02920 235 664 or send us a text on 07728 758 759 or email the studio sports@radiocardiff.org.
Cardiff on 98.7 FM and online at radiocardiff.org.uk. You're listening to Radio Cardiff Sport.
Only on Radio Cardiff.
So a very warm welcome to the Monday Night Sports Show here on Radio Cardiff, and welcome to all our regular listeners and to anyone new tuning in for the first time. If you're driving in the car, be safe tonight. There's a lot of rain around. Good evening, Simon.
Good evening.
How's things? All right? Good sport. Good sporting week?
Not too bad.
Excellent. And I bet you've got a highlight for us.
Yeah, mine's going to be 20-year-old Heather Watson beating Changli Chen of Taipei 7-5, 5-7, 7-6 to become the first Brit to win the... A women's tour event in the tennis since Sarah Gorman in 1988 in North Carolina. It's taken her up to number 50, and her rival Laura Robson. She's around 52. So we got two of our top women players really moving in the right direction now. I said some time ago to watch these two girls, and they're going to go a long way. The way they're playing at the moment, it looks like they will be going a long way.
Well, Simon, you're always right with your predictions. It's an inevitability of life. Brilliant. Cheers, Si. Okay. Good evening, Yus.
Good evening, Francis.
Oh, your microphone doesn't seem to be working, is that, Yus? Do you want to just pop over here and we'll have to cozy up a little bit, listeners, for those of you at home who can't see. Yusuf is now very close to me, but it's a very good evening.
Not the first time. Good evening, Francis.
And a good sporting week for you and a highlight?
Not the best sporting week for me, obviously, because, no Premiership, no Cardiff City. That's always a bit of a dampener for me. But I certainly do have a sporting highlight, because this weekend was a UFC event that was absolutely explosive. The last couple of UFCs haven't really lived up to the billing, and it's been a little bit of a disappointment. But on the weekend, I watched which, for my money, could very well be the best UFC event I've ever seen in my life. For some strange reason, this time ESPN decided to show the preliminary fights, which are not quite the undercard, but more like the undercard. A very rare treat for us, and sometimes it can be a little bit boring, but literally every single fight, every one of the prelims was explosive, every single fight of the undercard was explosive, and in fact the main event was a little bit of a damp squib after the what had come before it, but an absolutely fantastic event.
That's brilliant news, thank you very much, and we'll try and fix your microphone in a second for you. Actually, I'll tell you what, Yousse, pop along to microphone number four, we'll give it a little go. So there we go, brilliant. Now, we had the Cardiff Half Marathon taking place over the weekend, and we're going to hear from one of the competitors in just a sec. And of course, we've got plenty to review tonight as well. So Simon was at the Wales against Scotland match on Friday night, and he'll bring his match report to us very, very shortly indeed. And in a minute, we're going to hear from one of the competitors in the half marathon. It's an amazing spectacle, actually, in Cardiff over the weekend. And amazing spectacle over the weekend. And we were treated to some extraordinary scenes with 18,000 people running through the streets of Cardiff. And excuse the nepotism, but we welcome to the show my brother, Dominic Taylor. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And first of all, congratulations on completing the 13 miles. And how do you feel?
Surprisingly, really good. Had a bit of a problem with the knee, actually, sort of 10 miles in. But surprisingly, I've actually coped really well. And you know, I've taken today off, which I think was probably a wise thing. And doing really well.
That's great stuff. And congratulations for it as well. And we'll plug your charity a little bit later, Dom. But first of all, how was it in terms of atmosphere down there? Because the scenes were quite extraordinary, really, seeing 18,000 people on the streets of Cardiff.
It was simply remarkable, and I think that it's having that feel when you've got such a strong crowd and when you've got 18,000 other runners with you. It is just simply a feeling that is just unbelievable. It just keeps up with the whole positive theme that was going on through the Olympics, and it really does spur you on to just basically give it your all. And I was saying that at 10 miles, that was when that my right knee decided to basically tell me to stop. But I was just my determination to actually finish the race, you know, just overdid all of that. It was just simply incredible.
And how was the course then? Because I know it was newly set up for this year. It was relatively flat, would you say?
It was the majority of it was. And I mean, we had the top end of Penarth Road, which was probably the steepest incline, which took you between the second and third mile. That was tough. I know that that our cousin Guy, I went for a run with him 4 weeks ago, and he took me on up that route sort of 9 miles into a practice run. And his reasons for doing that quite simply were so it wouldn't feel so bad on the day. And the great thing was, because it's so early on in the course, it did not beat me, and I just kept going. It was brilliant.
Great stuff. And, you know, the general atmosphere there, I mean, was it easy to get up a decent speed? Did the field tent, did it spread quite nicely so there's plenty of room to run?
It did. I think that pretty much after the first mile was when the your first mile, especially, you did find yourself particularly boxed in. But then, just like you said, as everyone just started to spread out, and then the course has got a bit wider as well, you know, particularly along Penarth Road, it really did help just with the ease of getting round. And the pace was always good. I think that as long as that particularly in the first 2 to 3 miles, once you set your standard there, then you shouldn't really have any problems going around. But it was absolutely fantastic.
And in terms of Cardiff as a place to do it, I mean, it's well organised and the event was well marshalled, etc.
Every bit of it, absolutely. I mean, just everybody who was there. I mean, you had all the different areas of the course where we had to sort of change down different roads at various junctions. All the marshals and all of the organisers that were there were absolutely superb. Massive credit to those, particularly who were at the water stations and giving out obviously water, sports energy drinks, and also gel packs. They were just simply brilliant, and it just kept the organisation was just second to none. It was fantastic.
And Dom, I can't let you go without letting you plug the charity that you ran for.
Yes, well, I think it's something that's obviously both the close to our hearts. The charity that I ran for was for St Michael's Hospice that are based in Hastings in East Sussex, and so far I did target £200. I've raised so far £265, thanks to friends and family in and out of work, so many thanks to everybody there. And if you do wish to donate, the page is actually open through till the 14th of January. Go to justgiving.com/DominicTaylor16, that's 1-6 on the end, and then please feel free to donate there. Every pound will help.
That's brilliant. And so many people there running for some amazing causes as well.
It was incredible. I mean, the some of the sights of the day especially. I mean, I remember seeing a group of about six guys that were that had built a bobsleigh, which was, I think they were basically doing the Cool Runnings theme. So it was a Jamaican flag bobsleigh that they'd built themselves. And they were all taking it in turns to take a corner to complete the course while carrying it. And but I do want to give a mention especially to on the way round, you did see a couple of people that actually were, that sadly didn't actually finish the race and were not in the best shape actually, but were very well treated, it looks like, by the ambulance brigade, and just wish them well, definitely.
Would you run another?
Yes, I definitely would. I mean, 24 hours ago, I couldn't even think about it. It was more about recovery and having my first beer in 28 days. but now, I have been asked if I want to run in Hastings and even do another Cardiff, and at this stage, I would very much like to do it.
Great stuff. And, of course, you're a devotee of Cardiff City since you moved down to this area. Quick word on progress this season. Looking good.
They are looking very good. I mean, I was at the last match I was at was in the Leeds United game, and I was actually expecting more of Leeds on the day, but Cardiff did really show their all, and I think as well to have a great result as well against Blackpool. You know, I think they just wiped the slate clean with them. I think it was sweet revenge for last season. But yeah, they're doing really well, and I think obviously Brighton are up there as well with them. It's going to be a tight season.
Absolutely. Cheers, Dom. Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Take care.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon on 98.7 FM Radio Cardiff.
So, thank you very much to Dominic there, and congratulations to him, and of course to all the competitors who took part in the Cardiff Half Marathon, and to Rob Cole as well, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago plugging the event, one of the race organisers, and also Luke Broadley, one of his assistants, because they really have done, by all accounts, a terrific job, and hopefully it's another one of these things that's going to put Cardiff on the sporting map very firmly. Okay, well, we're going to move straight on now and talk about Friday night's game. And, Simon, you were at the Cardiff City Stadium. Gareth Bale match-winning performance. Tremendous stuff. And, crucially, Chris Coleman's first win, of course.
Yeah, it's great. With all the pressure Chris has been under, I mean, since he's taken over, and the results haven't been going Wales's way. In very much, I mean, people saying, oh, that. I admit, myself included, I mean, I've said in Wales haven't got much hope of qualifying, but I did also say last week that I could see the pinnacle game being away to Croatia on Tuesday, because Croatia win, they're up to 10 points, Wales only on 3. Scotland away to Belgium. I mean, Belgium win, they're on 10, Scotland only on 2. So really, you can't. They've got to get, those two teams have really got to get, Scotland and Wales have got to get some of tomorrow's games. I mean, it could be very hard away games for them. But Wales put a good performance. Gareth Bale, as you said, was absolutely outstanding. I mean, his 25-yard cracker being behind that was absolutely brilliant. I mean, it was great to see, I mean, there were so many Scots with their kilts and whatever. I mean, they sold out their allocation, and it was quite a few Scots in all the areas with the Welsh fans. But, I mean, the Welsh fans were getting on great with the Scots. I mean, some good banter going on, and certainly where I was, anyway. And it was really good. I mean, there was, as far as I was aware, there was no trouble. I mean, the Scots, I mean, certainly had a great night. And when I was in town on Saturday, I still seen quite a few Scots still around. So they probably had the weekend on there, and quite a few, I mean, with the Scottish invasion moving from Cardiff over to Belgium. Well, the Welsh boys will be going down to Croatia, and then hopefully Wales can get something, which would be very hard being away to Croatia, though.
I mean, the only thing, of course, is you take Gareth Bale out of that team.
Yeah.
It's still looking shaky at best.
It is, definitely. It's we got some good individuals, but we're still not there as a team. But it was just great for the players. I mean, to put on a good performance against Scotland, who sadly that Scotland aren't really the great. Well, they're not really a great power. I mean, it's, you know, but they've always been a team. They've always been there or thereabouts, qualifying for World Cups, just missing out. And Scotland, you would have thought, I mean, but their second goal, I mean, they still don't know why that was disallowed. I mean, apparently, I mean, I was down the cat stand, so and that was up the Grange end, so I haven't really had a close look of it, but I've spoken to a few people and they've said they haven't seen anything. I mean, the only thing it could have been is if the ball went out.
Well, that's what they're
and
saying.
And then come back in. I mean,
there's a heck of a swerve on it, and that's what they're seeming to suggest.
That's
but I mean, at best, that's very marginal.
That's right.
You know, that decision. Yeah.
And it's just one win, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it is only as you said, one win.
Yes, just one win, and obviously, with a second goal that got questionably disallowed, then there would have been a draw. I mean, how does this change your feeling on the manager?
Well, I mean, let's see how we get on against Croatia. I mean, as I said, it's going to be a really hard game over in Croatia. Wales lose that game, and as I said, Scotland lose to Belgium, and those two will be the two, I would imagine, even though it's still really early. We've only played three games, that's the fourth. I think in this group there's 10 games, so there's another six. But I mean, Belgium and Croatia would be so far ahead, I mean, so after four games, that I can't see Wales or Scotland catching up, or really. Serbia, I mean, basically, it's Serbia. Croatia could win against Serbia the other day. I mean, I would imagine, it's certainly looking like Belgium on paper look absolutely, certainly one of the best teams in Europe. And Croatia, I mean, they're pretty useful sides. I mean, I know Yusuf's a big fan of their main striker, Mr. Jadrovic from Everton.
Yeah, he's not having such a great season this season, though, really. He struggled a little bit, I think, at Everton this year.
Yeah.
Although he has scored more goals
though, hasn't he?
Than I thought, but he had a bit of a slow start.
Yeah,
certainly not as prolific as he was at the end of last season, anyway, because he was in everyone's fantasy league team.
That's right.
Let's talk about Chris Coleman as well. I mean, it's crucial for him, personally. The daggers have been out, let's be honest. I mean, they've been out from all angles, whether it be partly on this show or wherever. It's bought him some time.
Yeah,
do you think it's bought him sort of fairly long-term, or do you think... was the performance good enough that you can start to see his plans working now?
You can see it after fashion, but I mean, it's not just one game. You can really say that after one game. He certainly needs a good result in Croatia and for the rest of the campaign. I mean, if Wales can finish third, that'd be great. I mean, there's no reason why we can't finish third. I mean, in third, that'll give us a really good ranking for when the next the European Euro 2016 comes around. Yeah, 2016 comes around. I mean, Wales being a stronger pot, so they'll be playing less of the weaker sides. I mean, because Wales always seem to have a really hard group. This group isn't as hard as it could have been. I mean, it could have been a lot harder, to be honest. But I was quite pleased with the boys' performance on Friday, and just been. Maybe you said it may have bought them a bit more time. Let's see how they can get on for the next couple of games. But as I said, tomorrow night, it's going to be the make or break. Because Wales could win, they'll close them right up. They'll only be a point behind Croatia then, and it'll be all to play for.
Do you think it's a realistic possibility? I mean, Bale's looking strong, but again, as I said before, Croatia can outplay Wales in pretty much every area of the pitch, can't they?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean. I would probably imagine Croatia probably will win, and Belgium will beat Scotland. I mean, that's what I said last week, that I thought whatever happened Friday, come Tuesday, being in the two campaigns would be basically over. They won't obviously mathematically be over, but they'd certainly be looking. They'd be so far behind. I mean, I can't really see them catching Belgium or Croatia.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Si. And roll on Wales tomorrow night, of course. And later on in the show, a bit more football coming up. We're going to hear from Paul Harper, friend of the show and diehard Tranmere fan. They're riding high at the moment at the top of League One. So we're going to have a little chat with him about that and maybe a little reaction as well to England's 5-0 win against San Marino in their qualifying group. But coming right up, we're going to be talking wheelchair tennis.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon. On 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
Now then, Si, you went down to the International Tennis Federation wheelchair tennis event at Virgin Active yesterday. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much to our contact, Andy Welch, by the way, for helping us gain some press access to that. But Si, it's an event and a sport which has really sort of shot up to people's attention as a result of the Paralympics, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And the star name would have been Louise Hunt, who was one of the Paralympics. And she won the singles, beating Laura Lauren Jones, and she teamed up with Lauren Jones to beat Debbie Brazier and Valerie Fisher in the doubles, which was after. But I'll go a little bit more in depth now in a couple of minutes. But I know we've got the interview that I had with Simon Hunt yesterday.
Plugging with Simon Hunt, the organiser of the wheelchair tournament, tennis tournament in Cardiff. How do you think the event went?
It went really well, actually. Sort of riding on the success of the Paralympics, it was really important to have an event that everyone was really keen to play. We were very lucky that Louise Hunt played, who is top 20 in the world, and competed for GB in the Paralympics. So she came down, and the profile then was quite high because of it.
Yeah, and young Lauren looks a pretty good prospect and all.
She does, yeah. She's absolutely fantastic. She's actually off to Israel this afternoon to compete out there as well. So she's kind of riding high, taking a set off Louise in the final, which she was over the moon with.
With the wheelchair tennis in the Olympics, mm-hmm. How do you think the exposure has gone and profile of wheelchair tennis has gone?
Well, hopefully it's going to grow and it's going to keep going. It's one of the most popular sports at the Paralympics and it's something that's very accessible. Okay, you've got a lot of clubs around. We've got Cardiff Wheelchair Club, which is growing, and a lot of the players that competed in this tournament play for the club, and hopefully that there'll be more exposure through the Olympics to a lot more of the sponsorship, and we'll raise the profile of the game.
So how many different competitors were actually here this weekend?
We had 27 in the tournament. We had 7 from Wales, which was great. They've come from all over the UK, and it's been really interesting to hear their thoughts on other tournaments and then coming to Cardiff and saying they all love it, and I've been running it for the last 3 years and there've been a lot of people coming back, so that's positive.
So how long has it actually been going? For 3 years, or has it been going longer?
It's been going longer than that. I've taken it on over the last 3 years, and the Cardiff Wheelchair Club themselves ran it prior to that, so it's something that has grown, mm-hmm. and now as an International Tennis Federation event, it's on the international calendar. So we'll look to grow it from there.
So do we know when the one next year is going to be? The same
time? It'll be the same time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been really enjoyable. What I've seen today is really enjoyed in the Paralympics. Certainly looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see a bit more next year.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
But it's been very enjoyable, and is there in future years we hope we get some international interest, not just from Britain, but from
Europe? Yeah, I hope so. We had some international players last year that competed.
Okay.
It was a little bit, because it was the Paralympics, a lot of them are having a bit of a break at the minute. But we certainly hope that the word will get out and that they'll want to come and use Cardiff as a base. There's a big Nottingham indoor tournament that's in a couple of weeks, which a lot of them are using Cardiff to practice for, so we're going to try and attract a lot more from.
So do all the events go to, as you would have thought, like the number ones, number two seeds when you came through to the finals?
Yeah, it was. It did run pretty consistent to that in this tournament, which is great, because you know you're getting a lot of competition. It's not as straightforward as it may seem, but it's everybody is competing now, so it's a lot more interesting to play in and to watch as well.
So have you got any contact details, just in case listeners want to get in touch you guys and start in tennis? You obviously got some young listeners that would love to get into tennis, especially after the success of Andy Murray and what they've seen in the Paralympics. So,
absolutely. I mean, the LTA website is a great place to get information in your local area where you can play. Allplay.com as well. And then contact us at Tennis Wales. We can help out and we can guide you in the best way forward to getting involved or keeping involved in the game.
Great stuff, Si, and thank you very much indeed to everyone down at Virgin Active and the International Tennis Federation for allowing us the interview. Si, some great backstories there. There's always some amazing stories about people who, you know, have sustained injury or whatever, and have come through sort of adversity to be playing, you know, top level international sport. And you got a story for us?
Yeah, I mean, while I was there, I mean, watching tennis, I was talking to Lauren Jones. I mean, as I said, she was a beaten finalist in the women's singles, and she teamed up with Louise Hunt that beat in the singles to win the doubles. And I was speaking to her dad, and he was giving me a little story about her that 2009, when she was 13, she broke her back when she was playing with friends and she fell over a tree. At the time, she had just passed a trial to play for Brighton Hove Albion's women's under-16s team. She was taken to the Southampton General, then into the National Spinal Injury Centre in Aylesbury, and the coaches there saw that she had a good talent for tennis, basketball, and shooting. And 2011, she won the Sussex Players Player LTA Sussex Players Player and the Sports Awards for Disabled Sports down there. And the two singles finals were at 9:30 in the morning, because Lauren, as soon as the event had finished, she was on a plane straight over to Israel. That's the next event that she has, and then in a couple of weeks' time there's a big tournament up in Nottingham. But just a quick run through with the results in the men's singles. Alfie Hewitt beat Paul Stewart 6-2, 6-1. Louise Hunt beat Lauren Jones 7-5, 6-1. Louise won 8 of the last 9 games. Then they teamed up to beat Debbie Brazier and Valerie Fisher 6-3, 6-3. And then Alfie Hewitt, who's only 14, him and Josh Steels beat Tony Napit and Paul Stewart 6-1, 6-4. It was good to see. From what I see from Alfie, he looks another really good talent that's going to be hopefully they are thereabouts for 2016 in Brazil, and definitely going to be keeping an eye on Lauren Jones, and hopefully Louise Hunt, who is in the top 20 of the Paralympic tennis ranking. So she was in the Paralympics, so hopefully she can still go on a lot further in her career.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much, Si. And it's just coming up 7:30, so we're going to break for the ads now. We're going to come back and we're going to talk Formula One. We're also going to be talking to Paul Harper about Tranmere's rise to the top of League One, and plenty more stuff too. Back soon.
Hello, I'm Neville Southall. You listen to The Sports Show on Radio Cardiff.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon. On 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
Are you afraid to answer your phone or open your post because your creditors won't leave you alone? Then why not speak to one of Helpdebt Plus's qualified advisors, either at your home or over the telephone? They'll take details of your creditors and negotiate with them to reduce your monthly outgoings into one low, affordable payment. Take control of your life again by calling Helpdebt Plus on 02920 611 935. There is no charge for discussing your requirements, and they have over 30 years' experience in helping local people just like you. Log on to the Helpdebt Plus website for further details.
Monday Breakfast with Reese.
We've got a game of draw something going.
Joe.
You should have seen the snail-shaped frog.
And Mike.
This is Mike here.
Mondays from 7.
You're going to put a large knob of butter in a heavy pan.
On Radio Cardiff.
I am disgraced to be in the studio with you two juveniles.
Tune in to the Monday Night Sports Show with Francis, Yusuf and Simon. On 98.7 FM, Radio Cardiff.
So, loads to come on the Monday Night Sports Show, and it's 7:32 exactly. And Yusuf, it's been a packed weekend of UFC. You talked about it in your sporting highlight. So, do you want to wax lyrical?
Yeah, it was a really good event, and you know, I've been speaking a little bit to my brother-in-law about it lately, and you know, he's been texting me to say that he didn't feel that the events were as good as they could have been, not as good as they were once, and I did kind of agree with him in a little way. It wasn't quite as exciting as it has been in the past. However, this weekend was a bit of a strange main event. It was kind of a freak show because Anderson Silva is very commonly referred to as the GOAT, or otherwise known as the greatest of all time. And I kind of agree and I kind of don't agree. I mean, he's a supremely talented fighter, but it's kind of hard because in his fights, he just makes them look so easy. He makes all of his opponents look easy. And then you kind of wish that he would fight other people, you know? Sometimes you have these guys who make light work of everybody that they fight. And you may think, oh, well, he needs to fight someone better. then they will have fights with people that you can't argue. You know, when he fights against a particular opponent and he does exactly the same to them as he's done to his previous opponents, then you can't really argue with it. But I don't see that Anderson Silva has really had that type of an opponent. Now, what happened in this main event was they set him up against somebody called Stefan Bonner. Stefan Bonner is a light heavyweight. Anderson Silva majorly basically fights at middleweight, but he's had these little forays into the light heavyweight. Again, I don't know why he's doing it, because he's refused to fight John Jones, who is the light heavyweight champion. So why is he doing it? Maybe it's, you know, openly admitting that there's nobody in the middleweight, which is pretty well known as the weakest division, and that's why he's having to fight at light heavyweight. But this guy, Stefan Bonner, is pretty big for a light heavyweight, a lot bigger than Anderson Silva, who is big for a middleweight but not big for a light heavyweight. And Stefan Bonner had never been submitted and had never been knocked out, and they assumed that Stefan Bonner would go after Anderson Silva, much in the way that I feel is the way to beat John Jones. They're very similar fighters, you know, very calculated. They'll take their time and keep you where, you know, have the fight where they want to have the fight. So they thought that this Stefan Bonner could go in there and bulldoze him, and he wouldn't, you know, he would be able to hurt Anderson Silva, and Anderson Silva wouldn't be able to hurt him because he's never been knocked out and because he's never been submitted. As it goes, the fight didn't actually last even a round, and Anderson Silva did look extremely impressive, it has to be said, and he wasn't scared of his punches. He made Stefan Bonner look like, you know, he was mucky fighting with his son. It really was a supreme performance. It was very, very interesting. But I would just like to see somebody good enough to give him a real test and to see him tested. You know, we had that a long time ago with Chael Sonnen, who took him 5 rounds and ended up getting Anderson Silva submitted him in the last like 15 seconds of the fight or 20 seconds of the fight. But since then, there's not been anyone really to compete with him. So the main event for me wasn't where the action was, like I said. There was the preliminary fights where they had this was an event that was held in Brazil as well, I should say. Always a sellout, always a really good, exciting atmosphere. And they had a lot of the more prominent fighters from the recent Ultimate Fighter in Brazil competition. So when you were actually watching the prelims, you know, these fights were good enough to be on an undercard. So it really was a bit of a treat. You know, we had a lot of action. This was, you know, most UFC events go on for about 3 hours. I reckon I watched about 5 or 6 hours worth of UFC, and really good and really exciting fights from top to bottom. One of the standouts was a guy called John Fitch, who fought a guy called Eric Silva. And John Fitch is a very, very underrated wrestler. He has the best submission defense in the UFC. And there was one point where he was put in a pretty vicious submission, and it looked like, you know, any other fighter would have tapped out, and it looked like he was going to tap out. And his record of, you know, being able to fight off all submission attacks was over. But it wasn't. He fought it. He didn't get submitted, and he ended up winning the fight in a very, very dominant display. I don't know how Eric Silva managed to stay in that fight, but he did manage to stay in that fight. But he took an absolute pummeling. And, you know, it was one of those fights where you have nothing but respect for both athletes for making it, you know, so far. And another fight that had exactly the same feel about it was a guy called Glover Teixeira, who has been kicking around the scene for a very long time, but for one reason or another hasn't been able to fight in the UFC. Well, he came to the UFC and he fought against a guy called Fabio Maldonado. Now, Fabio Maldonado is not the greatest light heavyweight there is out there, but the problem was that nobody was willing to fight this guy, because people who know him know he's a real a gamer. But he doesn't come with the sort of name that if you lost to them, then you know, it's no shame. People would think, oh, you lost to this guy, he's brand new. But Chuck Liddell, who's obviously the Iceman, a very legendary UFC fighter, he feels that this guy, Teixeira, is ready right now to fight John Jones and to beat John Jones, which is what we're all waiting for. We're all looking for somebody who can come in and give this guy a fight, you know? So we wanted to see what this guy had to offer. And I've got to tell you that this guy, Maldonado, he's a big guy, he's a tough guy. And every single time he got hit by Teixeira, he looked like he was going to just fall over. He ended up on top of him in the very first round and did some ground and pound that it was absolutely brutal. Even I was wincing. He pummeled his head. It was the type of fight that UFC fans love, but people who won't watch the UFC and feel it's too barbaric, that's the worst possible fight for them to watch because it was gruesome. But the amazing thing was the commentators were calling for the fight to get stopped. I even thought maybe this fight should be stopped. They stood up on their feet. He was hardly able to walk, Maldonado. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, as they say in the UFC, anything can happen. Bang, he caught him with a shot. And he nearly turned the fight on his head because he was wobbling and he nearly came back and won. He gave the guy a good fight. He put up a really good account of himself. But in the end, the doctors stopped the fight because they just didn't want him. They didn't want the fight to go on any further, which is kind of frustrating because you see that this guy has taken all of that punishment and he wanted to fight on. And when the fight gets stopped like that, then it's like, well, I've just done all that for nothing now, you know, because I've lost and you didn't even let me lose or have my chance to win. So it makes it very complicated about when is the right time to stop a fight. But in the UFC in general, they're very, very fast to stop fights. And often they're accused of, more often than not, they're accused of stopping fights too soon. But it is very much a safety first thing. Like I've said a million times before, it's a much safer sport than people actually give it credit for. And you take a lot more damage sometimes in boxing because you can go down and get back up and go down and get back up and go down and get back up. And you can be unconscious on the floor for 8 seconds. As long as you can get up in the remaining 2 seconds, you're fine. In the UFC, you as soon as you go down, that's it. The fight is completely over. So, you know, for anybody who saw that fight and assumed that is extremely barbaric, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it was pretty barbaric, but it's not as bad as it sometimes seems.
Great stuff, Yousse. Now, when's the next UFC event coming up? Because it can't be too long. Any ideas?
You guys always do this to me, and I'm never 100% certain of when the next event
is. We assume that you are our UFC correspondent.
Well, all I will tell you is that the next big event is going to be November. I believe it's November the 17th, and it is the long-awaited return of one George Rush St. Pierre, who is...
Well, that's worth the wait, though.
Your boy.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an interesting fight because a guy called Carlos Condit, who's now holding the interim welterweight title, this guy is somebody that I tipped a long time ago. He is going to be the next big challenge for George St. Pierre. Some people actually thought that I was getting too way ahead of myself, but here we are now. Due to injury, he is actually the champion, and George St. Pierre is effectively having to win his own title back. I mean, but officially for Condit, this will be the time that he actually becomes champion proper. But George St. Pierre has been out of the ring for a very, very long time. It's, you know, I can't remember the last time that I saw him fight. So he's going to have an awful lot of ring rust, and he's going in there against somebody who would have been able to challenge him at his fittest, you know? So I really worry because George St. Pierre at the moment has got one of the longest running legacies. You know, he's been champion for such a long time.
We don't want him coming back and making a fool of himself.
Yeah, it's going to be it would be a real shame. I think that no matter what happens, should he lose this fight, they'll have a rubber match, what's called a rubber match. So they'll end up fighting probably straight away again, and George St. Pierre will be all the better for it. But it's going to be tough, a real tough fight for him. But I mean, I haven't seen George St. Pierre fight for so long. You guys know I'm massive fans of his, so I'm really looking forward to it in that respect. But I'm also very, very nervous about it. But the difficult thing is, I'm nervous about it because I feel that, you know, it's going to be very, very tough for him. But this guy, Carlos Condit, I really, really admire the guy. He himself had a really bad injury, and, you know, his career was nearly over. And for him to come back and be in the situation that he's in now is a brilliant tale, and I've always followed him also. So it really is two guys that I really have an awful lot of time for. So I can't really win, but also I can't really lose.
Great stuff, Yousse. Thank you very much. And we're going to be talking Formula One in a second.
This is Nathan Cleverley. For the latest news on boxing and the world of sport, listen to the Radio Cardiff Sports Show on 98.7 FM.
Great stuff. So Sebastian Vettel was on absolute fire yesterday in Korea, winning his third Grand Prix in a row, and that's now taken him to the top of the Drivers' Championship, overtaking Fernando Alonso. Sai, another very commanding result, and he's really hitting the top when it's most required.
That's right. Win lap three. I mean, Sebastian won second, Mark Webber third, Fernando Alonso. I mean, Sebastian is taking the lead now. He's on 215 to Alonso's 209. It's definitely going to be between these two guys for the world title now, with four races left. The next one's in India, and should be four really exciting races to look forward to.
Absolutely. And of course, the other big news that's come out is that he's going to be, Vettel, that is going to be moving now to Ferrari 2014, I believe. Your reaction to that?
Bit of a shock when I first heard it. It's going to be very interesting because they both used to be number ones. And I know that when Lewis Hamilton was first started, and he was doing quite well. Alonso didn't like it because he was putting so much pressure on him as number one. And it's going to be who is actually going to be the number one? Because Vettel could very well win the world title now, could very well do it next year. And then he's going into Alonso's team. It could very well. I don't know how the two guys actually get on off the. Of the course, but it'll be going to be a very interesting period if that does actually happen. I mean, got to say, another great performance by Felipe Massa. People have been saying, that's the end of him. He finished fourth this week, and he was told by his pit crew to stay back and not to put the pressure on Alonso, because he had so much more speed than him, and with the world championship at stake, he had to play the second place guy. He finished fourth, and sadly, Lewis had problems with his car. He finished 10th. He ended up with some AstroTurf. Apparently, it'd only been put on the racetrack on Thursday. Jenson Button went off on the first lap. There was an incident there. It's been pretty exciting season this year, I must admit, though.
Absolutely. It's a two-horse race now. Lewis Hamilton openly said, yes, they are. That's it now. He's got something new, a new challenge to look forward to next season. But I'm still absolutely stunned, really, because, a few weeks ago, we were looking at Fernando Alonso thinking, he's way ahead. Mm. There's really not a lot that's going to be able to catch this man. It's all to play for now for Sebastian Vettel, so quite extraordinary.
It's going to be a really exciting end of the season. Looking forward to India, the next Grand Prix.
Lovely stuff. Thanks, Si. Now, with Tranmere riding high at the top of League One, there's only one man that you can call for, and that is Mr. Paul Harper. Good evening.
Good evening, Francis. How are you?
It's great to speak to you. I bet you're in a cock-a-hoop at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic start. It's a bit of a dream world, really. It's just gone from strength to strength, and a bit unbelievable, as I say.
So what do you put it down to, then?
Do you know what? I'm not sure, to be honest. we've had our luck of the draw in terms of we've not played any of the bigger teams in the division, like Sheffield United or MK Dons as yet. But we're just playing some really good football. Got a lot of pace in the team now, and we're just counter-attacking teams and picking teams off, and for a change Tranmere are actually scoring a barrel load of goals.
Yeah, great comeback on Saturday, having been 2-0 down.
Yeah, I mean it was looking a bit shaky at 2-0. We weren't playing particularly well, defending was a bit shaky, which has been probably one of the strengths that we've had at the start of the season. And the strength of character within the squad seems to be really good, and that pulled us through, and we managed to get a winner in the end.
So how do the fans feel of having Ronnie Moore back, and he's doing so well for you? I was saying to Francis the other day, it's quite extraordinary that he just bounced back for Rotherham and yourselves. I remember him, obviously, when he was playing for Cardiff City. Actually, he was playing, and the time he played for yourselves and Rotherham, and with you two teams, he was always banging the goals on. But when he was a Cardiff, he could hardly score.
Just a bit of luck. Yeah, no, this is his third spell in charge now at Tranmere, so we're delighted to have him back. He did well in the first two spells. Arguably, shouldn't have been treated the way he was when he left second time round, when we'd narrowly missed out on the playoffs. But yeah, he's come back. He's brought a sense of belief back into the squad and the town as a whole, and Prince and Park's buzzing again. And like I say, we're just going from strength to strength, and it's created a really good atmosphere around the place.
Yeah, hopefully, Cardiff City doing really well, as you know. But hopefully, we can come further on to the FA Cup. We could very well draw you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got two games to play before then, which hopefully we can keep this good form running. But yeah, it'd be fantastic to get through to the third round, get a big side like Cardiff and raise a bit of money so that we can, maybe if we needed to strengthen the squad further, then we could do so in January.
Is any it's the last qualifying round of the FA Cup. Is any of your local sides you actually watch involved this weekend?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I think the team that is just around the corner from me, which is Salford City, they got knocked out by FC United. There's no Wirral teams in the last qualifying round, unfortunately. But FC United are still there, and obviously a big non-league team in the Manchester area.
Yeah, did you see the England game on Friday? What do you think of the performance? And obviously, big game coming away to Poland tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean it was a no-win situation really. San Marino. It was just a case of they would get 10, 11 men behind the ball, and it was a case of can we break them down? And I don't think England played all that well. Kept possession. Didn't create as many chances as I would have liked to have seen, but at the end of the day, we got 5-0 victory, which you can't really moan too much about. And like you say, the big game is tomorrow night when we travel to Poland, which would be a much sterner task, but one that hopefully they'll rise to, and hopefully we can get an all important victory.
Hiya mate, it's Yusuf here. I've got to say, you sound a lot happier this call than the last time we had you call in.
I go through ups and downs, mate.
Yeah, well, congratulations. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But the one thing I will ask you about, you're talking about the England game there, but you've got a couple of players, actually, that might be interesting to the future of Welsh football, namely your keeper there who says he's ready for a Welsh debut. So I just wanted to get your opinion on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Owen von Williams is the goalkeeper in question. He's been absolutely fantastic for Tranmere since he joined last season, and this season obviously with the great run, I think he's kept 6 or 7 clean sheets already. For me, he would be the first choice in the list of goalkeepers that Chris Coleman selected, to be honest. I think he's in form, his confidence is really high. I have no doubt that if he was thrown in, he would do an excellent job for the Welsh team. And obviously we've got a couple of young Welsh players as well. We've got a lad called Jake Cassidy, who's on loan from Wolves, who's an excellent centre forward, who will play at a higher level than League One in the future, I'm sure. And Ashton Taylor, who's another under-21 international. So we've got a nice little Welsh connection here. We're all really good players.
Well, that's brilliant. So you really think that highly of the goalkeeper then, that he could be our, and should be our, number one?
At this present time, I mean, I know Hennessy's injured, isn't he, at the moment. So from the list of the goalkeepers that Coleman's called upon for this particular set of matches, I don't see any reason why, if Von Williams was thrown into the fray, that he couldn't do a really good job. Like I say, his confidence is sky high. He's been playing in a winning side for the last sort of couple of months, and he's really improved. Even from last season, you can see improvements in his game. He's dominating the penalty box a lot more, which was one of the weaknesses that I saw from him last season. He's improved on that, and his game is just improving game on game, and he's definitely one to watch out for, and hopefully he'll get his reward in an international cap soon enough.
Okay, a slight detour now, but I wanted to ask you, because it's something that everyone's talking about, football fans and sports fans and non-sports fans alike, is being Liverpool, which is the fly on the wall documentary following Brendan Rodgers and his Liverpool team. I just wanted to ask you your opinion on that, or if you've seen it.
I've seen sort of half of one episode. I think it's quite interesting, really, to see inside, you know, a big Premier League football club, something you don't really get to know the ins and outs of what goes on day to day at you know, a massive team like that. So it's great that supporters and, you know, the general public have a little insight as to what goes on day to day in terms of some of the controversial things that have gone on with brown envelopes and players' names not wanting to go inside them. I'm not too sure because I've not seen too much of it, to be honest.
Great stuff, Paul. Thank you very much indeed for coming on the show tonight. And, of course, as much as we wish to see you down here in Cardiff again and Tranmere playing Cardiff, we don't want it to be a case that you lot go up and Cardiff City fail to go up because it'll be an absolute nightmare. Brilliant stuff. Thanks so much, Paul. All the best to you, and we'll speak soon.
Absolute pleasure, guys. All the best.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great stuff there from Paul Harper, and well done to Tranmere. They really are looking quite amazing. Ronnie Moore doing a cracking job there. Best squad he's had in years, he's now saying. So great stuff. OK, Simon, it is very much time for your roundup of the sporting week.
Simon Williams!
Right, I mean, going to the boxing, I mean, Saturday night, James De Gale defended his European super middleweight title against Hadilla Muhammad Hadi, and he won, defended it, and won on points. Chris Eubank Jr. also won his fight on points. David Price knocked out Audrey Harrison in 82 seconds. I mean, pretty good night spot boxing there, no doubt about that. Andy Murray got to another final, losing to Djokovic. In that, apparently that was a pretty good match and all. But one of the stories that grabbed my attention was the story about Amir Khan's £100,000 Range Rover being stolen, being some local guy. Folks had decided that they wanted it, and they put their van in front of it to make sure that he couldn't get it out. They didn't know whose it was. I mean, apparently there were six of them, and Audley and his brother Haroon had just come back. It was Amir and Haroon, who was his younger brother.
Yeah, you said Audley.
Did I?
Okay. Yeah.
I said for photo, you said Amir. Okay.
You should stop heckling Simon Williams.
That's a great story. It's a great story.
Yeah, it's a really good story. Carry on, Si. Sorry.
Yeah. So, one by one, being the two guys took the local hooligans out. I mean, these men, they ended up with cuts and bruises, and I'm sure they won't be going anywhere near Amir's car
Amir's car again, yeah.
Or Audley Harrison's car.
Audley Harrison, use of hiders, obviously.
Do you know, it reminds me of that story with those cage fighters. There were three men out, and they were dressed as women on the stag do,
yeah.
And a couple of blokes tried to take them on, not realising they were cage fighters, and they beat the hell out of them.
That's right, yeah.
That was in Swansea.
yeah, brilliant stuff. Oh, goodness me. Sorry, Simon, I'm heckling you now. Your roundup done, is it?
Yeah, that'll do.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much indeed, Si. It wouldn't be the same without Simon Williams here. Breaking news about Audley Harrison's Range Rover getting
hit. Amir Khan.
Great stuff. And in fact, we're going to move on in a second to the ice hockey.
This is Mac Falcon of the Cardiff Devils. You're listening to the Monday Night Sports Show on 98.7 FM. Bang on me.
Yeah, Cardiff Devils went over to Belfast on Saturday, and they lost 6-3. I mean, one of very much of a
The result over there being Tyson Marsh, Phil Hill and Deeds scored our goals. Put a better performance than they did when we got hammered 4-0 in Cardiff. But then on Friday night, it's away to Sheffield and then Sunday home to Nottingham Panthers. As I said, this month is going to be a defining month to see exactly where the Devils are going to be standing. And they've decided that with there being an NHL lockout, that they aren't going to take any of the NHL players for the short period that hopefully the NHL is going to have this lockout. But quite a few of the top teams, Sheffield, Nottingham, I think Belfast have, I think Brayhead have, a few of them have taken on these NHL players, but the Devils have decided they're not going to go that route.
Very quickly, Si, the lockout, is that industrial action, is it?
Yeah.
Or is it a transfer embargo?
Is it transfers and I'm not really sure what it is, but okay. It's something with the players and...
And sort of unions and whatever.
Unions and whatever, yeah.
I gotcha, okay. Brilliant. All right, brilliant. Thank you very much indeed, Si. And thank you very much, Yusuf, as well, for your company this evening. I'm so sorry that Yusuf had to get rather close to me this evening. It must have been a pretty uncomfortable experience for him, because mic number 3 hasn't been working. But never mind, we'll get it fixed very soon. Now, don't forget that coming up on Radio Cardiff this evening, it's the B-Side Rock Show coming up now for the next hour, followed by DJ Callister at 10 through until midnight. Stay tuned to Radio Cardiff for the very best in music around this city. And stay tuned as well every Monday at 7 o'clock for the Monday Night Sports Show. We're back same time every single week. So from Simon, from Yusuf and from me, goodbye.
Sound of the capital city, Radio Cardiff.
Thank you for downloading the Radio Cardiff Sport Podcast. For more information about the show, go to our blog,
radiocardiffsport.blogspot.com.